Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Important topics happening in and around Indy. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby. Brought to you by Child Advocates. Your voice, their future. On AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Community Connection. I'm Tina Cosby. Today is Friday, June 24th. And first and foremost, please let me apologize for our somewhat late start. We had some technical issues trying to get the sound to go. I had several power hits yesterday, and so things, we're still trying to get things up and going. So hopefully, we'll be able to get through most of the show without, or all of the show, actually, without any interruptions. But basically, today, an historic day in the United States of America, as Roe versus Wade, the law of the land for 50 years, legalizing abortion, has been overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court, meaning it is no longer a constitutional right. And right now, emotions here at home, around the state, across the nation are at levels we've likely not seen before, or at least not in recent history. As pro-life advocates celebrate, pro-choice advocates are saying today is not the end, but merely the beginning of what a lot of them are calling the fight of all fights. Reaction at all levels is pouring in. Some state laws are automatically taking effect right now and being signed into law, the so-called trigger laws. The reaction started, with President Biden, who just, was just on the air, just signed off, spoke moments ago, and started, he basically didn't take questions, but said, this stuns me. He added, it's a sad day for the country. He called for calm for protest, but he said it does not mean that the fight is over. Called on Congress to restore the protections of Roe v. Wade as federal law and challenged voters to make their voices heard. Called on voters to elect people this fall who will restore the protections of Roe v. Wade. Roe is on the ballot, as the president says. Personal freedoms are on the ballot, as the president has said. And he vowed to do everything in his power to fight what he is calling a deeply un-American attack. Let's bring in our he also said it's not over. So let's bring in, we've got several guests lined up for you today. Congressman, 7th District Congressman, U.S. Congressman Andre Carson is going to be calling in within the hour. And shortly, Beth White, the CEO of Indiana Coalition to End Sexual Assault and Human Trafficking, she is going to be calling in shortly. Let's bring in our contributing analyst who is with us today, James Patterson. James, an absolutely amazing day today. An historic day, and I tell you, if you're trying, it's like trying to keep up with all of the reaction and all of the different things that are developing minute by minute by minute, is almost like trying to drink water out of a fire hose. This has triggered a huge outpouring today.
Yeah, true. I think somebody said emotions are running high. That's an understatement.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, it's been, like you said, 50 years, 1972, Roe versus Wade granted the right to an abortion, and the Supreme Court effectively, as the leaked document said it would, the draft opinion, in April, that that this would happen, and that's what happened.
Yeah. As I was saying, lots of reaction. Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb has tweeted just a short time ago, this was his reaction. The Supreme Court's decision is clear, and it is now up to the states to address this important issue. We'll do that in short order in Indiana. I've already called the General Assembly back for back on July 6th, and I expect members to take up this matter as well. He tweeted that just a short time ago, and he added to that tweet, I've been clear in stating I am pro-life. We have an opportunity to make progress in protecting the sanctity of life, and that's exactly what we will do. The governor, just is not, he's not been on the show, let me put it that way. Congressman Andre Carson also tweeted, today is a terrible day in America for women and all Americans who value the freedom to make their own medical decisions. The House has passed legislation to protect a woman's right to choose, and I call on the Senate to take up our bill immediately. We will be hearing live from Congressman Carson again a little later this hour. Governor Holcomb has said in his tweet that he is, you know, he's already calling him in for a special session for the economic relief package, and he says he will use that special session to deal with, I guess, shoring up now that the control of the right to choose an abortion or not to choose an abortion has been handed back down to the states by the U.S. Supreme Court. The governor is going to take that up. So this basically is now in the hands of the governors, the state of Indiana.
Exactly. Yeah, we're a republic. So, you know, unless it's overridden by the federal government, mm-hmm. the state law is the, well, actually, you know, local law. And then the state law is the one that reigns supreme in the state. Mm-hmm. What happened today was the Supreme Court upheld a Mississippi law prohibiting abortion after 15 weeks. So that Mississippi law still allows abortions within 15 weeks. Abortions will still be legal in roughly half the states, no matter you know what happens, because it's codified in the legislatures in about 24 states. And it was a 6-3 ruling with three of the judges that were appointed by President Trump making the difference in this. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, you know, the gist of the background on what happened.
Yeah, and James, you know, we cannot overstate how huge this is. I was listening to some of the very, very early reaction this morning, and the president of the National Planned Parenthood said that from this point forward, every politician is going to have to eat this decision because it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a referendum on each and every one who has voted against the right of a woman to choose. You know, the fact that you know, this is scary. It's scary in terms of how people are reacting. It's scary in terms of the emotions that are running high. And I dare say, you know, at the forefront, it's scary for women. You know, with one fell swoop, more than half of the, you know, you say half of the states allow. Well, that means the other half don't. And so half of the women here in the United States of America have been, basically told they have no more control over their bodies. And probably the state of Indiana, with the governor, you know, in his tweet, we do have that other side. You know, the governor says he's been clear. He said, I've been clear in stating I am pro-life. We have an opportunity to make progress in protecting the sanctity of life. That's exactly what we will do. Also heard some very strong words, some very emotional, very moving reaction from the state Democratic Party that has challenged and, you know, the voters, of course. A lot of people are calling out to voters, but the state's Democratic Party is asking you know, the voters to get involved and to you know, because they are in the super minority. If there's a GOP supermajority, the governor has said he's going to make progress on this. It looks like Indiana does not have, from what I could find, James, we are not a trigger law state. But it is one of the states that's been, you know, slowly chipping away at these rights for a number of years. And it sounds like the governor may be, you know, putting the final clamp. I don't know. Just not sure.
Yeah, well, he certainly indicated that you know, his statement sort of indicates that he wants them to take this issue up when he calls them in to consider this gas rebate, whatever it is.
Well, it's not a gas rebate. What do you call it? Economic that $225 check, economic stimulus.
But
yeah,
I think he gave it. He proposed it in response to high gas.
Oh yeah, in response I thought you said he was going to do something about the gas.
Not call it a rebate, but in essence, it is. I mean, that's the reason for it.
Indeed. He's and so therefore, I mean, I just don't know. It's hard to tell where this is going to go. I did appreciate the president's calling for calm, because I mean, when you see people are, you know, they're, it's just an absolute, it's madness out there. It's just absolutely crazy. It's blowing up.
It's you know, people, it's an emotional issue, because you're talking about, like you said, a woman's right to choose and what she chooses, and you're talking about life. The you know, either side that people are on, it's still talking about life and their lives, the woman's life, and you know, perhaps if you know, whatever you believe, it's the life she's carrying as well. So it's still it's involved life. It, you know, it's just like when we had that shooting in Uvalde, you know, we had those babies, those 19 children and their two teachers slaughtered in there in the very early stages of their life. When you talk about life issues, and in many cases, because this ruling, like you said, people of means, if they live in a state like Indiana and they want to get an abortion, if they have the money, they can just go to whatever state has it, Illinois or, you know, whichever other state near them, they can just fly over there. So economics comes into play here, too, as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's emotional, just like the Uvalde. And the Uvalde thing, by the way, the Senate passed that yesterday, that gun reform bill, little as it was, but the House is voting on that right now. So that's another issue that was emotional, and it emanated from that slaughter of those children. So your point is right on, Tina, that emotions are running high, and this is an emotional issue. It's dealing with life. It's dealing with women and what they believe are their rights.
And you know, it's you know, it's been the law of the land, and you know, very seldom, I don't know how often, you know, something that has been deemed a constitutional right is taken away. I just don't know. And but this has been coming for quite a while. I mean, this has been a sustained, well orchestrated, sustained campaign.
I would argue that, and I'm trying to look this up, but I'm certain of this: the number of abortions in recent years, since it hit a peak. You know, since it hit a peak in recent years, I don't know when, I'm looking it up as, you know, as we speak here, as I get a break, but the number of abortions has been declining until recently. It has been declining. Well, not only until recently, I mean, it's kind of leveled out, but it has been declining. So that's another factor in this. What do people really think? What do they think about abortion? You know, what and who thinks that? If you were to section off the age groups, who wants this right to continue that we have had, enjoy, or some people would say enjoy, for 50 years, depending on which side? There's emotions on both sides, And I just, you know, I think that we're going to see the Democrats have, just like you stated, have said, well, this should be a wrap.
We lost James. Let's take a quick break here, and we'll be right back. Sorry about that, James. James, call us right back. And our guest is here. Our guest is here. We'll be right back.
Let's get back to the conversation. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby from Isaacs and Isaacs Injury Lawyers, WeWin.com Studios on AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light.
And we are back with Community Connection on this breaking news day. James got a tweet from Cameron, which is what I thought, Cameron Riddle, that never has a constitutional right that's been granted been taken away. So I thought I was crazy. So thank you for that, Cameron. Also, as we were saying at the top of the show, we've got reaction coming in from a number of areas, people that have agreed to come on. There are those who, you know, we simply can't get on, but there are those that we can. And one of those is Beth White. Beth White is the CEO of the Indiana Coalition to End Sexual Assault and Human Trafficking. Ms. White, Beth, thank you so much for being here. What a day.
Well, Tina, I'm delighted to be with you, although it's a very difficult day.
Yeah, indeed. And Beth, I have somebody else on the line here that you may know about. James Patterson, our contributing analyst, of course. But
oh, my gosh. Hi, James.
Yeah, but the other person is a veteran. And if she hasn't seen it all, then I don't know who has. And that is Miss Cordelia Lewis Burks.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah. Miss Cordelia, are you there?
No.
Are you there?
I am here.
Okay, how are you?
It's a remarkable day.
Remarkable. Okay. So, well, Ms. Cordelia, we're going to get back to you to have you explain that. Beth, what your reaction was swift and to the point. So what is your reaction today to share with our listeners?
Yeah, we are very, very troubled and saddened. Although we were anticipating this to be the decision. Mm-hmm. You know, every woman in the country should have access to safe and available reproductive care. And we know that sexual assault survivors, victims of sexual assault, rape in particular, incest, child abuse, pregnancies result from that. And it is just beyond cruel that we are now potentially going to have a situation in the state of Indiana where survivors of rape and incest cannot access abortion care through no fault of their behavior, nothing to do with the results for them. And it's just, it's heartbreaking. I know the legislature is going to convene very soon. I know that they have the votes to probably do what I consider to be very unfortunate rulemaking and lawmaking on this area. I also know, and I know Ms. Cordelia is on the phone, I respect her a great deal. We know that people of faith and goodwill disagree philosophically and morally on this question. But what is so important for me is for people to remember that survivors of sexual violence are impacted in a very direct and very cruel way by what's about to happen in the state of Indiana.
And do we know, Beth or Ms. Cordelia, either of you, do we know exactly what's likely to happen here in the state of Indiana? Do we know how restrictive it may be, if anything's going to happen at all? What do you know so far?
Well, process is what I could tell you, which is the governor has called for a special session.
Mm-hmm.
He has to indicate the topics that are open for special session. This morning, apparently, he's indicated that abortion restrictions will be considered on the 6th of July.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So very, very soon, right? Less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I hold out hope that there is room for reasonable discussion about reproductive care for the women of Indiana. But I have to say, I think that hope is fleeting. I'd love to hear from Ms. Cordelia, who's been in this game a little while longer than I have.
Yeah, and that's Ms. Cordelia, that's why we have you on here. So what say you?
Well, I said it was a remarkable day because I'm hoping that it is a teaching day. You know, Tina, I recall when Donald Trump defeated Hillary Clinton, I came home from the convention center and I sat here in my sunroom until after 2 o'clock in the morning, hearing disappointments from women all over the country that I have worked with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 56% of college-educated women voted for Donald Trump. What was the first thing that he said he would do when he got elected? He would nominate
the judges,
justices, mm-hmm. take away. Mm-hmm. The right to health care mm-hmm. by abortions. Now, abortions is not the only thing that Planned Parenthood does. It provides health care to men and women.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
today is a Donald Trump victory day, so we will see how many women will vote for candidates in November. Will they vote for Todd Young, who supports abortion? And will they vote for other candidates in our Indiana legislature? You know, I am not surprised by this ruling, and there is a ruling majority in the Indiana House of Representatives, and this has been coming for years. You know, it's the one thing when the other side wants something, they don't get disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I am hearing that a lot of African Americans will not vote this November because they're disappointed that Biden didn't give us the right to vote. Well, neither did Todd Young nor Mike Braun. Mm-hmm. You know, I said once, it is not about life. If it is, they would feed children after they got here. They would provide health care for children after they got here. It is about control. And I hope my people will understand that and get out in November and vote for candidates in the Indiana House of Representatives, because for those who will support health care, not only for women, but for children as well.
Yeah. James.
You know, and we hear a lot about the border. As long as the Republicans, and, you know, I'm a partisan Democrat, so as long as they continue to try to keep people from coming into our country, the more their majority increases. It's not about who comes in. It's about control. It is all about control, even passing this anti-abortion law. And in those in Indiana House of Representatives from the majority side of the aisle will make it even more difficult. I wouldn't doubt if we didn't see legislation where they would go after doctors, just like down in Texas. We're no different. You know, our state is no different from Abbott down in Texas. Now, yeah. Holcomb may be a little different. They're taking his control away from him a little bit by a little bit.
Well, I don't know. He sounded pretty clear in terms of what he wants to get done. I mean, in terms of his tweets, I did want to give his side, and reading a tweet's about as good as I can do. But I did want to at least, you know, offer his side of the story, so to speak, or his reaction.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the state. The state Democratic Party came out blazing as well. I mean, it was. I've been trying to listen to all of the press conferences and all of the reactions and just switching, you know, back and forth. But everybody is weighing in on this now, Beth.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, Tina.
Uh-huh.
This past weekend, the Indiana Democratic Party held its convention along with Republicans who held theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Over 2,000 delegates showed up at the Democratic Party's convention, and we nominated three women to run for those constitutional seats in the state,
mm-hmm.
Secretary of State, Auditor, and Treasurer. And let's see where our people will go. Will people get out and vote for these three women? Because you've got a man on the Republican side of the aisle who has indicated he wants to make everybody who's running for Secretary of State to show their birth certificates.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So let's see where people are. And I'm not talking about just Democrats, because we can't win anything alone. We need the independents there as well.
Yeah, Bethy. The problem with throwing the control over this back to the states is this possibly, you know, setting up, as many have said, a civil war, a war between the states. I mean, we heard about the war between the states several years ago. Could this be that again?
There's no question from my perspective that the right to this kind of access to abortion care can't depend on where you live. It can't be a situation where certain states, certainly around us, Illinois is much more friendly to reproductive rights. There are some, you know, Michigan, Wisconsin, those are better. But how can it possibly be that a rape victim in Indiana cannot access abortion care, but that same rape victim, or she would have to travel in order to access that care to another state? It's just beyond cruel. Beyond cruel.
Yeah, and one of the
situations.
Yeah, one of the biggest concerns is for women of color and women of limited financial means.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's always true.
Yeah.
And you know the Indiana Democratic Party did issue some statements today, which I read and appreciate, that you know most abortions occur in Indiana to people who already have children. The kind of ramifications to people who find themselves in a situation where they cannot have another child, victim of rape or incest. For heaven's sake, how can we in Indiana say we are pro-family and, you know, and pro-child if we are making rape victims make that kind of decision?
Yeah, yeah.
It's beyond cruel. That's all I can say.
Indeed.
And Tina, another thing that I've noticed. Excuse me, Beth.
No, go ahead.
I watch C-SPAN in the morning,
and
it's mostly white men who call in talking about abortion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you look at the high court,
Mm-hmm.
How many men, you know?
Right.
There were men that voted on that, on this issue, on this ruling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing in the state legislature. They do not give up until they win. It has been over 50 years that they have been fighting this ruling from the court.
Yeah.
And they continue to fight for something that they want. And we must do the same. I haven't heard my party's statement today because I've been watching C-SPAN and Nancy Pelosi.
Well, the president came out. President.
And the president saw his statement as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, James, go ahead.
You know, they just don't give up. But I know where my party stands, and that is one of the reasons why. And I hope you will talk to the chairman, Mike Sewell, because he's been traveling around the state. He's covered 62 counties already, you know, because it's just not the vote in the cities that is important. But it's out in those rural areas, and we used to have the rural representation in the legislature. We no longer have.
Yeah.
We'll just have to keep fighting and keep voting.
Yes.
You know, somebody sent me a congratulatory note text this morning saying something about Miss Operation Big Vote. Well, I don't do that anymore because it just takes so much time and so many contributions to put that program together. But our people need to recognize that we need to vote in every election. And the most important election, in my opinion, are the state elections where we vote for the Indiana House of Representatives and the Indiana Senate, as well as our constitutional offices like Secretary of State and Auditor and Treasurer.
Yeah. James.
It is up to us, Tina. It is up to us.
Yeah, and that seems to have been the admonition of the president for sure. And those who were speaking on behalf of the State Democratic Party today in that live press conference as well. Go ahead, James.
No, I mean, I was just listening
to
you
James,
guys.
How are you?
What did she say?
She said, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I remember I told you guys about the trends of abortion. I wanted to get Beth White's and or Cordelia Lewis Burks or Cordelia Lewis Burks. Take on this question, because Tina, I looked it up, and in 2010 there were 765,651 abortions in the U.S., and then that steadily dropped until 2000. Yeah, it got down to 2017. It was the low point, 612,000. Then it went up 2018 to 619,000, 2019, 629. So this is the question for Ms. White and Ms. Burks. Do you think it was because of access that it steadily went down for, well, between 2010, 2000, like seven years, and then it bumped back up? Was it because of access to, I think Ms. White used the word health care, or was it for some other reasons that it went down all those years, abortions?
Well, this is Beth White. The short answer is I don't know, James. It's an interesting question. But what I can tell you is that sexual assault and human trafficking in the state of Indiana is increasing. We have seen over the course of the last 5 to 7 years an increase in sexual violence. Now, there are complicated set of societal reasons, you know, why people are in crisis for various reasons. The pandemic has not helped. The mental health crisis that we have seen with the lack of good access to care. So sexual violence is increasing. And when that happens, we know that pregnancies will result.
Yeah.
We just know that.
So does Indiana's law, Ms. White, or the law they're contemplating, or for what you know that the legislators, the Republican legislators, are thinking about, would they not allow abortion for rape, sexual assault, if a mother's life is in danger? Would they allow that?
I don't know the answer. We're going to have to see. I mean, we'll know in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll see how far he locks it down.
Narrative we're going to see. It's very hard. I'll be candid with you as an advocate for sexual assault survivors. I don't want to engage in a conversation about some people getting access to reproductive care, including abortion, and other people not. I don't want to stand in front of the legislature and say, these women are deserving of reproductive care and other people are not.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's just not, it's not a tenable situation for us to be in.
Yeah.
But the Supreme Court has put us there.
Yeah.
I just want to be a voice for the legislature to understand.
Yeah.
There are real life consequences to people.
Ms. Rose,
not
go ahead.
Women, but their families.
For their families. Ms. Rose, you have a question for our panel.
Yes, I wanted to say it is up to mothers, not to the government or anybody else, to teach girls the ramifications of sexual activity for fun and freedom just for men. They have got to be taught, and that was the one that has been for years. They don't tell you what it's all about. They don't tell you what not to do, what to do. But either that, they are making it so that men can be sure he has an erection to produce babies, but they are trying to tell a woman that if she gets one, or a girl, which doesn't know any better, they need a better system for reporting rapes. They need a better system for women to teach girls about the sexual activity and what causes these having to have an abortion. There is no time spent. You don't hear any time spent to help keep a educate a young girl at the early age about making these men stay off of their, stay out of their pants, stay out of their bed. I don't know. You ask a mother, they talk about it's embarrassing. It should not be embarrassing to teach your daughter that you're going to you get pregnant or lay around with boys and they convince you, don't let them play with you. All these things, they can teach abortion.
Yeah.
And they should be able to teach restraining boys from hands and all these other things they want to do to girls.
Yeah.
And these girls have got to be taught to be protected.
Yeah.
Because they have no idea what's going on about sex.
Yeah. Ms. Rose, thank you very much for that. And that certainly is one aspect of it. But this is so much, this is so much more far-reaching than sex education.
You know, Tina, I have been advocating for about 3 years now to get legislation passed that defining consent. And we just got that passed through the Indiana legislature.
Okay.
The organization who went out very strongly that I've been working is Women for Change.
Yeah.
And Rima, who was the lobbyist for us on that issue.
Yeah.
But it was very difficult. I mean, very difficult for those white men down there in the legislature to define what consent is through legislation. Now, you know, I believe that training starts at home with mothers and daughters and even sons.
Yeah, and that's one aspect of it.
That's true. You know, but you know, there are young women who have been raped by their own
through no fault of their own. Yeah,
that's right. And this ruling does not even cover that.
No.
And neither does the rule in the legislature that has passed in other states, because those are men who are mostly writing the legislation and passing it. But so, we need to be down. If we want these issues covered, Mrs. Smith, we need to be at the legislature, you know, lobbying against some of this crazy stuff that these people are putting into law.
So, Beth White, do you think that...
You don't need a license to carry a gun anymore.
Beth White, do you think this is going to be a call to action, and what is your organization going to be doing as a result of this ruling today?
Yeah, this is absolutely a call to action, and all of our organizations that are a part of our network of survivor services, people who serve survivors, will be activated in all of this. It's going to be a very unpleasant couple of weeks, I will tell you, because of the narratives are really traumatizing to folks, and you just don't... It is. People who've experienced sexual violence, that all the talk about what can happen and how we're going to restrict access to care that people need is going to be very difficult. I need just to say goodbye to you because I'm doing another interview.
Right.
Thank you both. I want to thank you all three, and it's great to hear Cordelia's voice again. She's a real inspiration to me.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to say is that it's not a foregone conclusion that this is going to pass the legislature. We need to contact our legislators and make it clear that we do not want to see the kind of criminalization of people who assist and doctors in this kind of case.
That's right.
Again, it's just beyond cruel.
Indeed.
So I'm going to say goodbye and thank you for the time today.
Oh, thank you for your time today. I know you're on the road and busy, and thank you for making time for us. I really appreciate your input.
Of course. Good
All right.
To see you. And
we'll thank
talk you. To you.
Okay. Good talking to you. Bye bye. Thank you. And Denise. You know, yeah, Denise.
Thank you as well for contacting me, because without your show, many of the issues would not get out to our community.
Well, I thank you, Ms. Quinn.
I appreciate that, and I still think of Bill Mays. I was talking about him the other day, so I'm just so grateful for your service.
Well, I thank you, Ms. Cordelia, for yours. I mean, my goodness, you know, you can put so much into context. Denise, you have a question for either Ms. Cordelia or you just want to weigh in?
Yes, I want to weigh in, but Tina, this is devastating. And I don't understand why men want to control women when it is the men who are violating the women. If they would get together and talk or fight against rape, incest, and murder of women and girls and children, I don't think we would need this fight. But it is a fight, and it's over.
McDonald's is not new to chicken, so maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy, juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken, they're true to chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You know, this is not right, and the sexual assault victims, I just can't imagine. But I'm ready. I'm just so disgusted.
Yeah.
But I'm ready, Tina. Let's go.
All right, Denise.
Thank you for taking my call.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you for calling. And with us on the line now is our congressman, 7th District U.S. Congressman Andre Carson. Congressman Carson, you weighed in heavily on Twitter just a short time ago. You know, saying today is a terrible day in America for women and all Americans who value the freedom to make their own medical decisions. The House has passed legislation to protect a woman's right to choose, and I call on the Senate to take up our bill immediately. How are you, and what more can you tell us?
Well, I'm you know, we members of the House, we just marched over to the Supreme Court to join in solidarity with fellow Americans who were protesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Supreme Court has basically mandated forced pregnancy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think every woman, every family, every pregnant person should be afraid of what this means for the future of our country. You know, taking away a very, very, very personal freedom for pregnant people.
Mm-hmm.
To really make decisions about their own bodies with a doctor or a loved one or by themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of bringing politicians into this. I mean, it's disheartening, it's unacceptable, and it's disturbing. I think it's important for Hoosiers, Americans, to know that this ruling and Republicans in Congress, they're not going to stop here. You know,
yeah, Clarence Thomas is, he wrote basically indicating that contraception, gay marriage, and what was the other one? I don't know. Should be reconsidered as well.
Yeah.
Isn't that, I mean, people don't know that. That is something, so basically what they're saying is let's keep this party going, let's roll.
Yeah, and it's obvious that they don't have any respect for precedents that have been, you know, won in the past. The Supreme Court is out of touch, quite frankly, with where we are in this country, and they're suffering from, I think, a legitimacy crisis of sorts. And you know, the House Democrats, we've already passed bills to protect LGBTQ plus rights, abortion rights.
Yeah,
we've done a lot to expand access to care for those who are seeking abortions. But it's all been blocked by Republicans in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for folks who are disillusioned with the political process and don't want to vote and participate, this thing is real. There's no Illuminati control. This is real. Your vote
That's
counts.
Right.
And there's this narrative coming from the Republican side through troll farms and foreign operatives that are really trying to disillusion the public. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be critical of government. I'm critical of government. I'm in the government. Mm-hmm. But it means that if you're paying taxes and you're a U.S. citizen, this is a shared enterprise that you have to participate in. You have to partake in this government. I just really think that this is so devastating. I mean, to see folks out upset, it means a lot. And you're looking at social media, you're seeing people who are protesting. But I just think it abandons, you know, nearly 50 years of a precedent. Yeah. And it marks the first time in our history that the Supreme Court has taken away a fundamental right.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. And Congressman, again, thank you so much for spending some time with, because I know you're very, very busy. The president, just a short time ago, called on Congress, saying that Congress needs to restore the protections of Roe v. Wade as federal law. What can and can't be done? What are we realistically looking at in terms of what the president is asking? Because he can only do so much with executive orders.
Precisely. I think the president, I mean, he should say something. He has to say something, especially that there's an expectation there. I think he knows that we're trending for this to become codified, you know, in the next the next year. I mean, obviously it's a wrap. Which is why, you know, Donald Trump was very strategic in getting those justices and those appointments in under his administration, and people were kind of asleep at the wheel. They blocked President Obama, every person he put before the Senate. They refused to take a hearing on. And, you know, I'm happy to see the president has been bold about this, but quite frankly, the Supreme Court hasn't been held accountable enough. You know, the founding fathers, slaveholders that they were, womanizers that they were, all kinds of things. They were very genius and brilliant, speaking objectively in terms of setting up three separate but equal branches of government to act as checks and balances. And far too long, the Supreme Court has gone unchecked. They've been unchallenged. Mm-hmm. And in a very real sense, I think that Republicans are already measuring the drapes as to what it look like after November.
Absolutely.
Wow.
If we allow this to happen, it's going to trend until 2024, until the presidential election. And I saw a poll the other day. It was sent to me. DeSantis is leading, and Trump is a few points behind DeSantis. Now, I know that DeSantis has expressed support for Trump, but it doesn't take much for Trump to turn on you now. If you're leading him in the polls, it's only a matter of time before he starts to cut down the competition. But, you know, to have either one of them or anybody else as president and the Republicans control both chambers, you're going to see all kinds of
moves
and reversals of precedents in this country. I mean, we're going to have to revisit the Civil Rights Bill, the Voting Rights Bill.
Affirmative action.
Absolutely. We need a plan of action. And I think it's going to call for coalition building in a very real sense to push up against this. But if folks are so focused, I mean, look, we're dealing with high inflation, hyperinflation. We're dealing with an economy. We're still reeling from a global pandemic. Inflation is cyclical. I'm not an economist, but we know these things happen in cycles. And for us to refuse to participate in the electoral process or even be vocal about it, I just think it's so disheartening, given all the gains that we've had, not only as a people, but as a society. And
It's tough. And again, Congressman Carson, thank you again so much for being here with us on the phone today. On this show today is, Miss Cordelia Lewis-Burks. I know you know Miss Cordelia.
Queen. Yes.
The queen. Yes, indeed. And, of course, our analyst, James Patterson.
Congressman, I don't call it the Supreme Court anymore. I call it the High Court because it's not supreme.
Come on, man.
And I watched C-SPAN. Did the congresswoman from Texas, did her bill get through on feeding children?
You talking about Sheila Jackson Lee?
Congresswoman Jackson Lee. She had a bill, a food bill on the floor this morning for children. And I wondered if I had to leave, so I didn't get the conclusion of that vote.
We can certainly look it up for you.
Yeah, you know, we've been working on that. You know, a lot of us have similar bills because we vote on thousands of bills. So we always want to support someone who gets more momentum on their bill. Mm-hmm. But you know, she's been working with us on our food deserts bill. So it's all for the greater good. But we also want them to take up her reparations bill as well.
Yeah.
A leader in that matter. And that's a subject for another time coming off Juneteenth.
Yeah.
But I think it's critical to know that after reapportionment and redistricting, a lot of seats are up for grab in terms of the larger Republican strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And losing the House, I mean, we already have a very, very thin margin.
Mm-hmm.
And within that margin, you still have Democrats who are conservative in terms of personal philosophy.
That's
just the reality of it. So to take up these very progressive measures,
mm-hmm.
not only in a midterm election, an election year, in an election where all members of Congress are running in new districts,
mm-hmm.
It's going to make it that much more challenging. And you can see a shift in attitude, and there's an arrogance and a pomposity of sorts with a lot of my colleagues on the mm-hmm. other side of the aisle, because they're already thinking that they have this thing in the bag. And so, you know, they're looking at getting gavels and being chairs of committees, and they're already thinking about their talking points, and some of them are already looking in the mirror, wanting to run for president in 2024,
yeah.
or getting an appointment, or go back to their home state and run for governor or senate mm-hmm. or whatever. And mm-hmm. I just hope that this kind of momentum and frustration
mm-hmm.
will last up until the general election.
And that's the thing right there, Congressman.
Yeah.
You can't stress that enough, because in addition to urging Congress, the president also challenged voters to make their voices heard and called them on. James, do you have a question before we have to let the congressman go? We got about three more minutes.
Yeah, I was just going to ask the congressman, what's the most important thing that you're working on right now that you think can get done within the caucus, while the Democrats still have the majority? What is the most important thing you think can still get done in 2022, if anything?
Well, that's a very important question. You know, as a member of the Transportation Committee, many of us are still trying to wave the flag of the infrastructure bill, which is the most monumental infrastructure bill we passed in our country's history. And we want to hold government accountable to make sure that Black-owned, minority-owned, women-owned businesses are getting their fair share contractually, because we know a lot of generational wealth is created through governmental contracting, be it local, state, or even especially federal contracting. And so we've been waving the flag. I've met with some Black business owners recently and women-owned businesses leaders recently, and we've been trying to really push this issue, especially the Congressional Black Caucus. Now, on this Roe v. Wade decision, the Congressional Black Caucus had just spoke to the chairwoman, Joyce Beatty, and I was on the leadership team. I've held every position in the Congressional Black Caucus with the exception of chair, and we've been strategizing about how to message this to our community, because far too few of us have access to good health care, if we have insurance at all. And mm-hmm. a part of our project has been bringing attention to this issue. So many sisters have had to utilize this procedure mm-hmm. because of circumstances that are very dire,
mm-hmm.
tragic,
mm-hmm.
to rape or incest, or even just making a decision based on their condition.
Yeah.
And I think to take away this fundamental right,
mm-hmm.
I think it takes us back. So, you know, this decision, it's going to likely lead to, I think, half of the United States immediately taking action to ban abortion outright. You're going to see states following suit. You're going to have people who are forced to travel
mm-hmm.
hundreds of thousands of miles to really access abortion care, or to carry pregnancies against their will, which is a violation of human rights. So the Supreme Court is effectively taking away the right to abortion, and they're going to just leave people unable to access care and deny women the right to make decisions mm-hmm. for themselves. We can't say it enough.
Well, you know what, Congressman Carson, it's not like we didn't see it coming. I mean, when you look at the school religion, you know, taxpayer support for religious schools, when you look at the gun, New York's gun law being overturned after 100 years. And now the court has been very clear about where they are, where they stand, and what their agenda, if there is such a thing as an agenda. You you know, we got to look at all of that because this, you're right, Congressman. It doesn't look like it's even going to stop at all.
No, it's not.
Indeed. Congressman, thank you so much for being with us. And we'll be talking with you soon. Please keep us posted. And if there's anything that, as always, anything we can do to help, please let us know.
We appreciate your advocacy. Keep up the good work. And I love you, Ms. Cordelia. I'll call you later.
All right. Thank you, Congressman.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Tina, I'm going to let you go as well. I'll repeat this again.
Okay.
Your show is the only way that our community has an opportunity to discuss issues like this, and I certainly appreciate it.
Well, you know what? You have no idea how much we appreciate you and your knowledge and your wisdom, and we'll call on you again not too long from now, Ms. Cordelia, so expect another call.
I'm here.
Okay, all righty. Thank you
so
much.
And I want to thank my community for keeping your show as the number one show in Marion County.
Okay. I had to check on that. All right. Well, thank you. Have a good weekend, Ms. Cordelia.
You as well.
All right. Thank you. And we'll be back with more Community Connection. Open lines and Weekend Review. Remainder of the way out in our second hour. 317-239-1310. 317-239-1310. Or you can tweet us at Community Indy. We'll be right back.
WTOC AM, W224DI, W236CR, Indianapolis. It's time to discuss the important topics happening in and around Indy. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby. Brought to you by Child Advocates. Your voice, their future. On AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light.
And we are back with Community Connection heading into our second hour. If you are just joining us, we are reacting and taking reaction to the blockbuster news, although it was pretty much expected, but still, when it hits, there you go, that the law of the land for the last nearly 50 years has been overturned. The Supreme Court has ruled that abortion is no longer a federally protected constitutional right and has overturned the landmark Roe v. Wade decision. We have had a lot of reaction so far and expect to get a lot more, you know, for the remainder of the show and again in the coming days. James Patterson, our contributing analyst, is with us. And James, we just heard from Indiana 7th District Congressman Andre Carson. We heard from Ms. Cordelia Lewis-Burks, former vice president of the now retired vice president of the Indiana State Democratic Party. We heard from Beth White. She is the CEO of the Indiana. I'm trying to get the exact title there. I don't want to get the title wrong. But anyway, violence and human trafficking. She is in charge of that organization. And we also heard from the governor via tweet. We talked about the president's reaction. So whole lot of reaction, whole lot of everything going on. Beth White is the CEO of the Indiana Coalition to End Sexual Assault and Human Trafficking. So everybody's got a concern regarding this decision. And I dare say, James, this is going to be something for the long haul.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, particularly, I think, Cordelia Lewis-Burks and Congressman Carson were speaking about, what they were saying is, this should motivate people to go to the polls.
If this doesn't, yeah.
Yeah.
And taking it in its entirety.
Will it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In its entirety, you got to look at what the court is doing, not just with this, but look at what it's done the last couple of weeks. In its entirety, you got to understand and realize where things are going. You know, they're sending everything back to 1920, maybe even earlier than that. And they're obviously they're not going to. But anyway, James, we're going to talk about it a lot more. We're letting folks talk about it as well. If you want to weigh in, 317-239-1310 or tweet us at Community Indy. Haven't been able to get to the Twitter machine too much, but we can take calls. We'll get back over there. OK, Ron, go ahead. How are you?
Lovely Tina, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you, sir. How are you?
And lovely James, ha ha ha, how are you today?
How are you doing, Ron? Mm-hmm.
Super. For me, life is good. I think I told you, Tina, if I didn't, I quit working for that home improvement company, so I have a few more minutes of my day now.
Mm-hmm.
I went down to Florida for my 45th high school reunion. I took two of my grandkids, a 13-year-old girl and a 10-year-old girl, and we drove down to Florida. To this weekend, my daughter turns 33.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm at her birthday present, Tina James, is I'm going to take my grandkids for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Secretly, it's a present for me, but she thinks it's a present for her.
Nice.
She has a 9-year-old boy and a 5-year-old girl that I think are the most, I love them little duckerheads.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I thought I was going to take them down to French Lick, but I was watching TV the other day and I saw Kentucky Kingdom and Hurricane whatever Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to wind up going there, and I hope we have the most time ever, because I love them little duckerheads. You just wait till your little boy gets a little bit older. You're going to hopefully either take him out to the golf course, or you're going to just have so much fun, it'll be stupid. Just wishing everybody a good weekend. I just hate this hot weather, don't you? I can't even get outside and play golf today. But I'm just wishing you, James, everybody, all the best. One of your callers says something about loving to love or fearing to love or whatever. I love to love. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your baby as yourself. Take your grandkids out and have a great time.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Tina, James, wishing you guys all the best.
Thank you, Ron. Same to you. Thank you. 317-239-1310, 317-239-1310, or you can tweet us at Community Indy. Brother Imhotep, go ahead. How are you?
Hi, how you doing, Tina? James, and thanks for my call. We got to all think a little more positive as things go on, but the reality is the reality. You know, I talked to a neighbor of mine yesterday, and her husband hadn't seen in the last month or so. I knew he wasn't doing well, and he walked the dog every morning. And I've been out of town back and forth a lot in the last month, but I finally caught her yesterday walking the dog, and she told me that, you know, he had transformed, and we talked for a long time. And so reality is reality.
Sorry.
And so we can't avoid the reality. I've got my bloodline sitting right here next to me. Remember, I told you I got that printed copy of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution out of the Legion Post the other day.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start, he's 8, and we're going to go every day through 4 or 5 parts of this Constitution, because civics, they keep complaining, and Greg Taylor, Representative Greg Taylor, Senator Greg Taylor has said they're not teaching civics in class. So I would implore you, Ron, I hope you teach your grandchildren some civics while we're here and get them to understand that their rights and liberties and everything is being under attack. Miranda, me and my mother talked about Miranda this morning. That Miranda decision, she said she probably think one of the worst. She just can't understand that logic with gutting Miranda like they did. And that applies to us in the real world. So I'm saying everything to people now again. Do not talk to the police. My mother said, 50 years as an attorney, do not talk to the police, never, ever, ever, whether you are a witness to something or anything, without an attorney. That decision yesterday has sealed it, because you don't know what you may be saying, you don't know what how they may reconstrue. So do not, people, black people, any people, do not talk to the police at all.
Are you talking about if you're under arrest?
No, I mean, period. That decision, you have to go and read what happened in that case. She was disheveled, influenced a little bit, and they questioned and questioned and questioned. He didn't Mirandize her. So what Alito is saying is, even though he didn't Mirandize her correctly, it didn't matter. That was fine. That was fine. Tell me what my mother told me this morning. They basically gutted Miranda. So the Uvalde police And all those police people down in Uvalde are not talking to the police. So even the police know, don't talk to the police. So that decision yesterday has affirmed that. If you're a witness to something, get a lawyer first. Call counsel first to make sure that you understand your situation, what position you may be putting in, this, then the third. That decision yesterday affirmed that. Our rights are under attack. Our liberties are under attack. The First Amendment, we got some decisions coming down about the First Amendment coming, too. That's coming, too.
Yeah.
Some journalistic decisions, some new media decisions, whether or not YouTube people are journalists and stuff like that. There are more coming. So, well, since we're talking about our grandchildren and young and stuff like that, we have got to get them educated, because if we're going to see a better electorate and more people voting and a better vote, because Donald Trump said today that he was happy with the three justices he put on there and that elections had consequences. Did you see that, James?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what Donald Trump said, people. Elections have consequences, and these are the consequences of that election. So
yeah, actions have consequences, too. Right. Donald Trump's about to find that out, too. So,
But still.
I know. But, yeah, the sheer and utter hypocrisy of someone like that.
He's hypocrisy, but he got 65 million people that think his way. I think when he lost even this last election, he got roughly almost 65 million votes.
Yes, indeed. So, I agree.
So he's got still a large following. He knows it. And now, since it's blood in the water from a state point of view, it's just going to be terrible. But we have got to get our people in line. We've got to realize that this is not a theocracy, and that this is supposed to be a representative democracy. And James, I'll throw this out there. You talked about that both sides, as far as the Roe decision, you know, life. Okay, well then what about the life with the Second Amendment decision? All these shootings and all these murders, and yet gun laws are even being lax more and more. Remember July 1st, what happens next week? And what happens next week? You have no permit in this.
Yeah, permit. Anymore. Yeah, so permitless carry goes into.
That's right. So if we're going to talk about life, then why don't we think about all life and the sanctity of life from a holistic perspective? I'm not, because I'm a gun owner, but still, when we think about life, I think there should be, this bill is going to get passed, whatever. There's no, they didn't raise the age to 21. They didn't put in universal background checks. They didn't put that in the bill. I read that bill.
Yeah.
They didn't put any of that in there. So it's really toothless. So if we're going to talk about preserving life with Roe, then why wouldn't you have nobody under 21 can buy assault rifles? Then
you're talking about two completely different things. That's, I mean, yeah, we know.
You're right. But I'm saying they don't look at that.
No, they don't see it that way.
That's right. They don't see it that way. So we got to understand the bait
and
switch that goes on. It's a bait and switch. But our young, tell them grandchildren, sit them down.
Yeah.
Get a printed copy of the Constitution. Don't do it on the computer. Get a printed copy of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and explain to them the importance of those rights historically, from Franklin, Madison, Thomas Paine, Locke, and all them thought.
Yeah.
And maybe we can get better.
All right.
It's a sad 2-3 weeks. It's a sad 2 weeks. Thank you,
Brother Emmett. And you know what, James? Lately, I have been looking at the Constitution and reading through and just trying to figure out how things got so off track. How did something so clearly and simply written get so, and I think that it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. People are just, I don't know. It's really amazing. And this constitutionalist, behavior, this constitutionalist mindset that these extremely conservative Supreme Court justices have is dangerous. In the sense that James, I don't know. Let me think on that. Let me noodle on that, because if you're taking the literal interpretation of it and applying something that, what, how many years ago, James? How many hundred years? And taking that and applying it to 2022? I know that the document, you know, has to live, breathe, you know, and be, you know, be, it has to conform here and there, but my goodness.
It was amended. I mean, it was flawed from the get-go by flawed men. I mean, the black people living in the South were counted as three-fifths of a human. It was flawed. Yeah. But, you know, the amendments, I mean, women, just not black or white women or Asian women or Hispanic women, indigenous women, women, period, didn't get the right to vote until 1920.
Yeah.
You know, so it's flawed, and if people feel, you know, like so many people feel today, they need to get up, like Cordelia Lewis Burke said,
and vote,
and Andre Carson, and vote.
Yeah,
people voted
anything,
in the primary. Yeah. Did you guys say 13?
No, it's 10.1%.
Was it 8?
10.1% in Marion County, I do believe.
Yeah,
but they've got to understand. Yeah, they got to understand what's at stake, and it's not all about somebody making you feel good, or saying something, because you've got to think beyond that. Sometimes this is not, you know, what is a friend of mine said, a church or an athletic event. That's where people go to, you know, where, you know, okay, this is not.
I just think, you know, what Ms. Rose said was really, really, really enlightening, because what she's saying is the girls are not taught, hey, you touch me. If you touch me and it's on, don't even touch me. They're not taught that, you know, the puberty, and the guys are getting having liberties with them before they know even what's happening. And then all of a sudden, you know, a pregnancy occurs. They don't even know what hit them. And so, like you said, education is just part of it. But it's a huge part of it. What do people care about? What do they care about these days?
I don't know. Anonymous, go ahead. You have a question or a comment? Go ahead. How are you?
Yes. Since all these people are testifying against Donald Trump, what will be the consequences? I don't see them putting him in jail. So what's the point? I'll take my answer offline.
Well, the point is to lay out a case to do just that for the Justice Department, should they choose to do so. And it's also an opportunity to get those deeds in living color before the court of public opinion, meaning you, me, and everyone else. So that's basically the point.
And particularly those people who signed affidavits to be electors, to create another government.
You know,
irrespective of what Trump does, we'll deal with him in a second here.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who signed up to be electors, they are vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because you can't just go around because you don't like who won the election and, you know, decide you're going to make another government.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they did in 1861.
Yeah.
When they formed the Confederacy, several states. You can't do that. And as far as Trump is concerned, I think he's in the most. They may come back in Georgia and say, you know, no true bill, that grand jury. But I think he's in the most trouble right there, because they have a tape of him saying, trying to elicit votes from person who's not from someone who is not superior to him. Mm-hmm. It's almost like he's demanding that this other Republican get him 11,000 votes.
Yeah, give me a break. The end of that. And the other thing is, not only is he in the most trouble, he's probably in an area or situation where he's most likely to be prosecuted, if so, because the state of Georgia is not bound by the practices and the traditions of the Justice Department, and, you know, the political implications, they're not. It's the state of Georgia. They can do it. They don't really have to worry about, you know, what it's going to look like to prosecute a former president. And James, the other thing is, she was saying, the point, somebody brought up the point the other day, and I couldn't agree more, because I was thinking the same thing. You can have an ironclad case, but Brother Imhotep made a good point. 65 million people voted for Donald Trump. So when you're putting together a jury or picking from a jury pool, it only takes one Trump supporter in a jury that's picked to say no, and then it's either hung or, you know, there's no conviction. So you better be on your P's and Q's and be absolutely sure that you have something ridiculously beyond a reasonable doubt, so that you don't have to leave anything to chance. whatsoever. Because if it gets all the way to the point of an indictment and then gets the point to, of a trial and then, you know, a jury, you know. But I do take issue with that to a point because it doesn't mean, it shouldn't mean that you shouldn't try.
Yeah, right. A couple things here. Number one, he got almost 75 million votes. And then Biden got 1 million.
Yeah.
But you're right. But I think it depends on the venue, where. And we're talking here about Fulton County, which is a huge multicultural county. It's
African American,
African American population there in Atlanta.
Mm. Yeah.
So the jury would reflect that.
Yeah.
So you know the chances of him having a Trump supporter who would just wouldn't go along with the law and just, you know, hold out. I don't know what that would be there, but it may not be that.
Yep, but it only takes one, which scares me. The chances are a lot lower, and you're right. The venue would make a lot. Yeah, the venue would reduce those chances significantly. Good point. Old dude, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Y'all got a great show going on. I woke up this morning in a state of shock with the Supreme Court, but I figured that would happen anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way possible that you're going to be married to your wife or your husband for 30, 40 years, and you guys are not going to discuss present-day activities over the dinner table. I couldn't even fix myself to buy a lie like that.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now here's what I want to say. I'm going to say it real quick. Do like James Brown. I'm going to hit it and quit. Listen, I'm a devout Democrat. But I've been looking at the stats over the last few years, state of Indiana, as well as other states around the country. On the local level, the Republicans are setting up the local level to take control of the votes that goes to Washington. And you know, if the people here in the city don't start voting correctly here on the local level, there's really nothing too much can be done in Washington. Okay, the president does have a certain amount of power, but he can't get anything done without the Senate. You know, he's got to have the Senate behind
him. That's true. The down ballot offices are the most important.
Yeah, and you know, I hate to say this because I'm a devout Democrat, but it looks to me like the Democratic Party here in the state of Indiana has been walking backwards for the last 15 years. I mean, you know, they see the strategy of the Republicans, but instead of looking at their strategy like a chessboard and trying to outmaneuver them, they're running follow the leader. You know, they let the Republicans set up everything, and then they run behind them and try to fix it after it's set up.
Mm-hmm.
You can't win like that.
Mm-hmm.
Even in D.C., you know, they're up there right now in D.C. If you look at the strategy of the way they're setting up the system, they got everybody on the local level winning those elections, redrawing the districts, making it harder for the people to vote. So in that way, when the Republicans take over Washington, you know, the House and Congress and all that,
they got everything.
There's really nothing nobody can say because they've got the districts and everything all set up like that. I don't understand why the Indiana Democratic system does not look at the game and see the way they're playing it. I mean, it's almost like our leaders in the Democratic Party for the state of Indiana, in my opinion, they are playing a 1726 program while the Republicans are sitting out here battling the 2024 program. And it's crazy. And you guys got a great show. I'll just bail out. I just had to blow that off because the abortion had me all backwards on everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy because, you know, they're telling these women, if you get raped, you got to have the kid.
Yeah.
If there's a bad case of incest, you got to have the kid. Don't they know that if a woman's raped and she has that kid, when that kid grows up looking like the rapist, she has to relive that all over again, and she builds up resentment for that kid who had nothing to do with it.
But you know what, old dude, to me, it's not even that deep. It's not even that deep. Because, they're telling a woman, I mean, what a woman does or chooses to do is her business. But, you know, life is about the more options and the more choices you can create for yourself. That's what money does. Money gives you more choices, does it not? And when you got more money, you got more choices, so you can rely on what have you. And if you've worked for it and you're entitled to it, this is your body. You should have a choice. I'm not saying what you should do. I'm not saying have an abortion. I'm not saying don't have an abortion. But I do say that I find it absolutely unthinkable that you cannot decide for yourself. It's about choice. It doesn't even get to the act, the physical act. It's about a choice.
Well, if you look at it slowly, the Supreme Court is slowly doing like Motap said. You know, they're slowly taking away the rights of the citizens. They done forgot all about the thing that says we the people. You know, instead of we the people, is we the party. Look at the panel six set up, the sixth committee.
Yeah, it's an ideology that there. It's a very, very small ideology that a minority of Americans hold true and dear, that they're grasping onto for dear life, and that is what they're trying. You know, and you can look at everything that they're kicking out of out of those chambers, and it just speaks to that. It just speaks to that.
It's really crazy because when you look at it and you look at the evidence, you see how deep down in the Republican Party this whole coup thing has went.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Have a great weekend.
All right, you
too. Enjoy yourself.
All right, thank you very much. Hey, our good buddy from the Urban League, Mark Russell, is here with us. Mark, how are you?
Hey, Tina and listeners and my brother James. How's everyone?
Everyone is good. How are you doing? You doing okay?
It is crazy busy, but I just want to check, the Urban League has concerns about our Supreme Court, but it's something that I don't believe you guys have talked about yet. That was
decision
on Miranda.
The Miranda and the other thing we were going to talk about, too, is Herman Whitfield.
Whitfield, yes.
Yeah, that's on the list. We're going right down the list. But so you're talking about Miranda. Yes, Brother Imhotep brought that to us as well.
Oh, okay. I missed that. I've been running in.
That's okay. But go ahead. And your thoughts on Miranda. What is it?
I wanted to emphasize, we're the Dragnet generation. We grew up almost memorized. You have the right.
Right.
But right now, the only way you can access those protections is that if you're stopped, you have to explicitly tell the police officer, I need my lawyer and I'm not going to speak with
you. Yeah, that's what Brother Imhotep was saying.
And you have to do that. And we have to educate our children to do that. Not only our adults, but our children, because this is a completely new ballgame. And you talked about going back retrograde, and you ask yourself, what year is it? Is it 22 or 1722? And we need to ask that and have our children know that, because it's extremely important. And even if they fail to do it, you can't sue them, which was what that case.
Yeah, what that case said. Yeah.
Right.
Miranda.
I wanted to interject that because as you look at everything in context. Our legislature is coming back, God help us, on July 6th.
Mark, we're not a trigger, we're not a trigger state, but I mean, from the governor's tweet that he sent out just a short time ago, right before we went on the air, it sure sounds like he's planning on clear and decisive action on abortion for the state of
Indiana. In fact, the Speaker of the House and the President pro tem both sent him a letter back in April saying that if the court bring us back into session, they are going to do.
And here's what he says. I have been clear in stating I am pro-life. We have an opportunity to make progress in protecting the sanctity of life, and that's exactly what we will do. He also says in a little bit earlier tweet, we'll do that in short order in Indiana. I've already called the General Assembly back on July 6th, and I expect members to take up this matter as well. So he's talking about, Roe and Indiana abortion. Indiana has one of the more restrictive abortion laws in the country anyway, and I expect it could be shut down completely. It'd be.
And the thing about the Roe decision that hasn't been discussed much either is that they're expecting about 15 to 20% increase in live births. what that translates into for black and Latin women, and you can ask Dr. Kane about this, is increased infant mortality.
Yeah, because, you know, they're health care, and these women that don't necessarily have access, that are financially limited anyway.
Right.
You know, that's
already a bad state in terms of black women and health.
Yeah, a deeper dive into poverty. It's just, I don't know.
So look at that. We've got our open carry law going into effect July 1. And I joked with someone today that I'm going to lock myself in and put up my bulletproof windows.
Yeah, I want to. I can't tell you what I was thinking, but we. I
self-edited what I just.
I know, and I just edited as well. But very quickly, the Urban League and some of the other some of our other advocates are firmly behind the family of Herman Whitfield III as they file the federal wrongful death lawsuit. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, the family has made clear that. They want to have this issue dealt with as privately as possible.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to respect that. I think the thing we need to do is wait and see what they and their attorney saw.
Okay.
Because what was reported in the newspaper and what is alleged in their lawsuit are two totally different things.
Yeah, I read the lawsuit, and it's not what we've been hearing about. Actually.
No, something serious happened there, and we're going to be vigilant, but respect the family's wishes.
Okay, and family's wishes are respected, indeed. All righty, Mark, thank you so much. You know, James, Mark keeps us on our toes.
Yes.
Keeps us informed with everything.
Appreciate him so much.
All right,
appreciate.
Bless you both. Thank you for letting me on.
Oh, no, thank you for coming on. Appreciate you. Have a good weekend.
How are you, too?
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
And we're going to take a quick break right now and be back with more Community Connection right after this.
Let's get back to the conversation. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby from Isaacs and Isaacs Injury Lawyers, WeWin.com Studios on AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light.
And we're back with Community Connection on this Open Lines Friday, heading down the home stretch. James Patterson, our contributing analyst, is with us. Throughout the show, we've had Indiana Congressman Andre Carson. We've had former Vice Chair of the Indiana State Democratic Party, Ms. Cordelia Lewis Burks. We had Beth White, the CEO of the Indiana Coalition to End Sexual Assault and Human Trafficking, and a number of phone calls, James, all in response to today's absolutely mammoth news that Roe versus Wade has been overturned. It is no longer the law of the land. There is no longer a federal constitutional right for women in the United States of America to choose whether or not to get an abortion. That has been sent back. That authority
to the states. Turned back to the states.
Sent back to the states. And here in the state of Indiana,
abortion will still be legal.
In some states.
About half the states.
Abortion will still be legal in about half of the states. Right now, in the state of Indiana, it is still legal, but that is very likely to change. Governor Holcomb made it clear today in a tweet that he is going to deal with this now that the Supreme Court has ruled in a special session that he has called for July the 6th. And he said in a tweet that he will deal with this issue and that he has been clear in stating that he is pro-life and that he has an opportunity to make progress in protecting that. And that's exactly what we will do. That's according to Governor Holcomb. And so look for some tighter restrictions, if not a complete elimination of abortion in the state of Indiana in the next couple of weeks. There's no... I mean, is very highly likely. Right now, technically, it's still legal, but it's been wiped out. The choice has been wiped out in half of the United States of America. Half.
Although Cordelia Lewis Burke says, don't let it be a foregone conclusion.
Nope.
Put pressure on them. And
well,
over there.
Yeah, and she said this is a teachable moment about the importance of voting, and she's absolutely right. President Biden, in his reaction to the court ruling, says abortion is on the, you know, is on the ballot.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy, juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You know, this fall, abortion rights are on the ballot for this fall.
All those people out there in front of the Supreme Court, there's hundreds now.
Yeah.
All those people who I'm sure, Tina, will be marching,
yeah.
You know, coming weekends, and especially in the warm weather,
yeah.
be marching for abortion rights. All those people, let's see what they do come voting time. Let's see if those people come out and vote. What they're, you know, vote against.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard, like I was saying earlier, or maybe I didn't, I was telling somebody, but I was busying around and I heard it. I didn't see her, but the president of Planned Parenthood said that from this day on, that every politician who is in favor of this is going to eat it. They're, you know, that she's going to make sure that they
right.
have to yes. eat it
yeah.
each and every day. So, yeah, it sounds like, and I don't know, they either started, it's not, to say that it was settled law in their confirmation hearings and then to go and just turn it upside down is disingenuous. I mean, and I think it really sheds a bad light on the credibility of the court, which is another, you know, another story. But
Andre Carson said they're already, you know, spying out their
mm-hmm.
chairmanships and all that.
Measuring for drapes.
The so-called big media have been saying that the Republicans are going to take over in November.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let's see who mm-hmm. people come out and vote for.
You know what, with this decision, this very well could be Republican overreach. It could go, I don't know. It's just hard to say. But, you know, you got a bunch of folks riled up and you've got the gun thing, you know, and
sure.
so we'll see. Jack, go ahead. How are you?
Yeah, good afternoon, Tina.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Boy, if I had a tail like a dog, it'd be wagging. I don't mean no harm, but I thank God for them Republicans today, because everybody know I've been praying on Pastor Jackson's show that they turned that abortion thing around, and the Lord has answered my prayers. I'm mm-hmm. just like a Tyson say, I'm elitist about that.
So you think in every possible situation whatsoever?
Everyone, because you remember when we were slaves, the Republican Party, the ones that fought to set us free, and I don't know about y'all or other people, but I love the Republican Party, because if it wasn't for them, good old Abraham Lincoln, we would still be slaves. So when these babies that's being, you know, born now, when they get 18 and they can vote, they're going to make a big difference in the Republican Party, because they're going to remember who said it, where they didn't have to get killed.
Mm. Okay. All right, Jack. Well, you have yourself that, you know, there's that opinion as well. There's that point of view as well. There's that point of view. So, all right. Have a great weekend.
You know,
y'all have a big old fine, safe weekend.
You have a big old fine, safe weekend too, Jack. So. I was like, what were you saying, James?
I was just going to say, you know, even among the black population, there's a spectrum of views on that. There just is.
There is. There absolutely is. So.
I mean, we can't say, you know, that most of the black people in the Democratic Party feel the way Jack does, but there are a lot of black people who feel like on this issue, I mean, on most issues, no, they ain't going with Mitch McConnell, not one inch, mm-hmm. or they're not going with Donald Trump. They want him in jail. But on this issue, this is a tough one, because some people, particularly those who call themselves Christians, really have another viewpoint, kind of like what Jack said.
Yeah, that's and you know what, that everybody is entitled to their opinion, as we say so often on the show. So James, Like I said, we've had a it's just been an absolutely whirlwind type of day. I don't know if there's a day that's been big. This is a day in history. It's going to be one of those days where were you when, you know, do you remember where you were when you know, the Supreme Court overturned mm-hmm. Roe v. Wade, or, you know, I'm sitting in my office and you know, all of a sudden my phone starts blowing up. So it is going to be indicative of where we seem to fall. Are we all talk, or are we somehow going to be, you know, compelled to be active and to activate and to get politically active, you know, once again over all of this? Because the court has shown itself. What was that? What's the old saying? If somebody shows you who they are, believe it. How many more rulings does this particular court have to kick out to show you who they are? Yeah. So if that is not reason enough, as Ms. Cordelia says, remarkable. You know, the power of the vote is remarkable as well. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's cyclical. The court now is to the far right. And you know, the court in past has been to the far left. I think that it's like a pendulum. It swings and then it goes back. Ends, you know. They really allowed him, Trump, to put three people on there. And I think, was it Andre Carson who said? I don't know. But this was his main goal. Mm-hmm. And also the federal judges. He was just stacking the court. I mean, and Mitch McConnell was just getting them through there as fast as they could put them in front of them. So, you know, I mean, they had a strategy. Does their opponents have a strategy to bring back the Miranda warning so that police officers have to say, you have the right to remain silent, you have a right to an attorney if you so desire. Now you have to, if you don't speak up and say that, and a lot of people would get arrested, they don't know to say that.
Yeah.
You know, they might just talk their head off to police thinking they got to talk to them when it might be in their best interest to be quiet until all the facts are known.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very important. Very important. Do not talk. Say you would, you know, I would rather talk to my attorney, or I would like to talk to my attorney is all you need to say. Just got a, let's see, a tweet. Justice Clarence Thomas wants the Supreme Court to overturn landmark rulings that legalize contraception, same-sex marriage. And then got another tweet. In a concurring opinion to the Supreme Court's ruling to overturn Roe v. Wade, the conservative jurist called on the court to overrule a trio of watershed civil rights rulings, writing, we have a duty to correct the error established in those precedents. So, you know, how much more you want your, you know, I guess it all depends, whittled away. Mobilization. Who was that called for mobilization or said that the situation?
That was Cordelia Lewis.
Yeah.
That was one of them.
One of them, yeah, that this demands or this calls for mobilization. The mobilization, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you got a lot of people to watch. Watch when you look at the different reports tonight and over the weekend, Tina, you will see there will be a lot of people in the streets. And President Biden, in his speech, I caught a little bit of it before we came on the air, and he was saying, you know, he was discouraging people from violence or from, you know.
Yeah, he encouraged calm, but he also, he encouraged calm and encouraged political activism, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So if people want to change things, what have we been saying all the time?
Get
out there and vote. Out there and do something. Do something.
Yeah, indeed. We have one final call. Caller, we've got about another minute before we have to go to break. So how are you? Go ahead.
I'm fine. I just like to know, they should have just left it as it is. And I'm also thinking, what else are they going to try to overturn? What other?
A lot, yeah.
You just said.
Yeah, that's just what I was saying.
That's what I'm really concerned about. Mm-hmm. They get away with this, what else they're going to overturn? And,
well, they'll keep it going.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, they could have took their time and tried to get these, you know, these sex crimes off, you know, with the kids and, you know, the sex trading and all that. They couldn't put time in doing that and helping that, but yet they go back and get something 50 years ago. But the
overall objective is not to...
The sex texting, is that what you were talking about?
No, I'm talking about with the kids where they are trading them off for money.
Oh, she's talking about trafficking, sex trafficking.
And they could have been helping to do to solve that problem.
Well, again, the overall objective here is to get rid of it completely with one fell swoop. There were there's so many states now that no exceptions whatsoever. I had read one state, even if it's an ectopic pregnancy, which is a pregnancy in your tubes, that was illegal. You're talking about, jailing doctors who may have to help save a woman's life if they have to choose. You know, it's just gotten... it's really frightening how far reaching some of these bans are. It just is. And so they're not interested in parsing it out, so to speak. They're interested in eliminating it 100% regardless. And therein lies the rub. So
like I just stated, what else they gonna try to overturn?
Quite a bit. Stay tuned, as they say. Okay, stay tuned. All right.
Good weekend. Bye.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye. And please remember to, when you have an opportunity, get out there and vote. Take somebody with you when you do it, because it's never been more important. We say that every year, but it's in every election cycle, and it's true. Each and every election cycle, it's never been more important. So
the people and a lot of them are black people who are protesting right now. Just think of all across the country, if people who felt that this issue really, really, what it does to a woman. Women have unique, opinions on this. They're women. They're the ones who carry the children. So, but if they got out there and voted, just think what a difference it would make on this issue and others, Tina, other issues, Miranda, others.
Miranda is very important.
Will they move? I'm watching. Will they move?
We'll see. Yeah. Need some mobilization. We need to get some more folks back on here, and maybe, just maybe, we'll get a Republican perspective to come on and talk with us, because maybe there's something we're not understanding, James. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, across the board, we get those perspectives. I don't think, as this last caller said, they should have maybe. Well, she said they should have left it alone, but I just believe that there's a lot to it. And we're not just talking about abortion. We're talking about a lot. Miranda rights. We're talking about voting rights. We're talking about a lot. Mm-hmm. So if you care about what happens to you, then what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
Got to vote. Got to vote. Got to vote. Yeah. Got to vote. Got to vote. James, we got to go. We gotta go right now. That's a commercial. I don't think it's about leaving the microphone or a show, though. But anyway, thanks everyone for tuning in. Thank you, James, for being here. Reminder, we're always right here on WTLC AM 1310, 92.7 FM and 95.1 FM The Light. Don't forget about our website, praiseindy.com. You can always follow us on Facebook. On Twitter, we are at Community Indy. And of course, we have a podcast. Willie Moore Jr., your nephew, is flat out on the radio. He's up next.
Yes,
He's up next. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us. We're back on Monday. Until then, please be safe, be well, and be COVID-19 careful. Yes, COVID is still out there. Vaccines, boosters, distancing, hand washing, and masks all still work well. And James, we have not had a chance to get someone on to talk about the vaccine now being available for 6-month-old to 5-year-old. We got to get that in one day next week.
Tita, your shows have been...
I know.
How do you get through them? I mean,
I don't know.
Buckling.
Yeah, it is. But we got to get somebody in to talk about that, because there is more apprehension among parents and families with that age group, I think, than there ever has been. Or so it appears to me. It appears to me that this was
coming. Yeah, you're talking about teenagers?
No, 6 months to 5 years.
The vaccine. Sorry,
the vaccines, COVID-19 vaccine. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, James.
You're welcome, Tina.
All right. Have a good weekend. I'm Tina Cosby for James Patterson, and this is Community Connection.